Mankind, from the beginning of time, has been plagued with fear, anxiety, and worry. Since the fall in Adam, one of the first signs of a fall from grace is recorded in Adam's own words in chapter 3 and verse 10. When the Lord asked him, "Where was he, or where art thou?" he says, "I was afraid." That's one of the first signs of the fall in Adam, was fear. Fear of God, fear of uncertainty, of the unknown, a dread, a trembling in the heart, anxiety, worry, guilt, and all of those manifestations of the fall is found and is residing in the human heart to this very day. And mankind has been plagued with fear since the fall in Adam. And as I said to you, one of Adam's first confessions was, "I was afraid. I fear the future. I fear what I've done. I fear the unknown." Now, fear is something we all live with every single day of our lives. And whether we like it or not, in Adam we have become creatures of fear. That is, we're naturally anxious and naturally we worry. That's not an excuse for being worried, by the way. Some people would worry if they weren't worried. And some people are anxious if they're not anxious, because they say, "Well, something bad's going to happen. I feel happy. I'm not going to enjoy this, because if I do, I get a phone call and it'll be destroyed." And they just live in fear. And that's true. It is true. But guess what? We're all the same. There's not a single man, woman, or young person that will deny that we're anxious at times. We are creatures of fear. We preached on Sunday morning on the peace that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives to his people. That peace Christ had himself, it means an absence of fear. It means to be calm, knowing that God is in control and there's nothing to be afraid of. But our fears are not only caused by our sin in Adam, our fears are also in many ways aggravated by the various circumstances we find ourselves in life, either our personal responsibilities, the responsibility that is on an individual, whether it's in work, whether it's in regard to family, children, or some other responsibility they have. They fear failure. They fear that they can't cope with this. It's too much for them. And you know, there are people who don't sleep because they're worried about the responsibility they have, and they fear that of themselves they couldn't cope. Sometimes it's our personal responsibilities, yes, but other times it's problems that we face that are completely out of our control. They're not of our making, that's for sure. We didn't ask for them, we didn't look for them, we didn't make them, create them, and they have come our way. And we can do nothing about it, absolutely nothing. No matter what we do, we can't fix it. No matter what we say, we'll not help it. Some things, and we worry about those things, and we're anxious about those things, we're fearful of something that actually has happened. And then we're worried about something that might happen. And then we are convinced that something will happen. And you would agree, searching your own heart, being honest before God, that fear is one of the signs of the fall in Adam. This anxiety and worry that the world is plagued with. I would imagine, out of all the medication that's given out, either antidepressants or calming tablets and so on, is high up on the list of what individuals look for when they go to their GP or they go to the hospital. It was Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth in his day, and we believe since it, until our Lord came. He was an individual, gave us many great and choice statements. But he did say this in the book of Ecclesiastes: "Fears shall be in the way." And that means as you journey, there'll be times whenever you'll be fearful, and you'll be unbelieving, you'll be anxious, and you'll be worried. I don't believe for a moment, and I would be convinced in saying this, there's not a child of God present in this building or listening on the internet who would ever pick up this sermon on the various media platforms, would ever deny as a true believer that there's never a time when they've been afraid or they've been fearful or they've been anxious and worried about something. It was David himself who cried, "Fear was on every side." David, a man after God's own heart, he even said by experience, there was fear on every side. So no matter if I had gone east or west or north or south, I feared meeting my enemy. I feared trouble and strife. I feared even those that were in my camp. I could trust no man. and no man cared for my soul, as he said in another psalm. And Paul, the great apostle, you wouldn't imagine that Paul would ever be anxious. You wouldn't imagine that the apostle Paul would be afraid. You wouldn't imagine for one moment that he would have even a lapse of faith and he would be fearful or unbelieving in any shape or form. In fact, they might even say, I've read the New Testament. I've studied the life of Paul. I've never found an incident in his life where he admitted he was fearful. Well, I'll give you the incident, because he says, writing to the church at Corinth, about many things that were happening. And here's what he says, not only about things without, he says, within were fears. And the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the pattern for all sinners saved by sovereign grace. That's what Paul is. His conversion is a pattern of all conversions. His life and service is a pattern. He was a chosen vessel. He was an individual who was unique among the fallen sons of Adam's sinful race, because he was a pattern how to live for Christ, how to serve the Lord. And oft times he even said, and he was conscious of that, he says, be ye followers of me. Now, is there any person present that could ever say that? I want you to be a follower of me. Everything I do, you do. Everything I say, you say. You'll never go wrong. You'll never make a mistake. I know we couldn't say it. We couldn't even say it, by the grace of God, be a follower of me. The old saying was from some of the believers in the past, you follow the pastor as the pastor follows the master. And that's exactly what Paul meant. Be ye followers of me. As I follow Christ, as I live for Christ, you follow me. But we have those words Paul said, fightings without. And then he says, fears within. He actually said that. Fears within. Now, it's good to know that in the midst of all this world in which we live and the fears that we face, around a Christmas time and a Christmas season, God has even placed into that message the words, fear not. I'm not sure if you've done the study. I'm not sure if you've ever heard a sermon in connection with these thoughts, but there are at least four. And if those who are Bible studies, and maybe some at home with access to their phone now and their Bible, and they're going to go through it and correct me, but there are four fear nots that's associated with the Christmas story and with the Christmas message. The first one we find is here in Matthew chapter 1, and we find that in verses 20 and 21. And it is the fear not of God's salvation. The fear not of salvation. You notice there in verse 20, now we know that this is the angel speaking to Joseph, and he's afraid, he's worried, he's anxious. He's just been told that his wife is expecting a child, and he knows it's not his, and he was even minded to put her away privately and not even embarrass her. Once he heard that, and he was anxious, he was fearful, and when he was told this news, the angel knew his heart, because the angel said, fear not. He wouldn't have said that if he was believing and at peace. But you notice in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, so he was thinking and he was worried and he was minded to put her away privily. That means he was thinking, now how can I get out of this? What will the people say if they find out I love her? I'm a spouse to be married to her. And now she's with child. What am I going to do? What will people think of me? What will they think of Mary? I'll maybe have to think about this. I'll have to put her away privily. How would I do that? How would people not know? They would ask, where is she? What have you done with her? Is she alive or dead? Did you kill her? Where's she gone? She's disappeared off the map. He was minded. So as he thought on these things, that is, he was restless. He couldn't sleep because he was worried. Joseph was deeply worried about this matter. And then the word came from the Lord. It says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Do you see that? And if you look at verse 21, you'll see why. Fear not, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Fear not, for he shall save Fear not, for he is the Saviour. Fear not, he is the Messiah. Fear not, he's the Son of the living God. Fear not, that which is conceived in the womb of Mary is of the Holy Ghost. And fear not what people say. And don't care what people think about you. This is of God. And when the child is born, thou shalt call his name Saviour. That's what the name Jesus means, Jehovah the Saviour. It's the same as the name Joshua of the Old Testament. And he was called Oshea, which means salvation. And his name was changed. Joshua's name was changed to Joshua, Jehovah the Saviour. And that's the name Christ was given. Thou shalt call his name Saviour, because he shall save his people from their sins. And in Christ Jesus, you and I have a perfect Saviour and a perfect salvation. One who has delivered us from wrath to come. One who has saved us from the punishment and the penalty of our sin. Have you thought about that today? Have you meditated upon what Christ has done for you? Here's a fear not in regard to the Christmas story and the Christmas message. Fear not, he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, he will love us and he will take care of us forevermore. And there's nothing happening in your life but your Savior who loves you and cares for you allows this to happen. And he says, fear not, for I am your Savior. I love you. I care for you. In Christ, we need not fear the torments of hell. We need not fear the terrors of the pit. We need not fear the timeless confines of the lake of fire. Christ has taken all this for us on his body on the tree. We are complete in him. Now that's something to rejoice in. We are clean through the word he has spoken unto us. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And child of God, part of the Christmas message is this. Fear not. And as I said, there are four fear nots in association with the Christmas story. And the first one is this one. The fear not of salvation. You have nothing to fear about the future. The Lord has not only saved you, but he will take care of you. He will look after you. He's your Savior. That is, he will save you out of all your troubles. He will deliver you out of all your afflictions. And this word Savior means help. It's the word help as well. He will help you. Fear not. You have a Savior who will help you. Not only saves you from your sin and delivers you from wrath to come, because he has put away your sin at Calvary. He suffered the eternal pain of, and sorrow and misery of hell for you and me. He has endured the wrath of God upon his own body at Calvary. And he has in his life and in his death fulfilled the righteousness of the law and satisfied the justice of the law. And the justice and righteousness of the law have nothing more to do with us. They don't condemn us anymore. We stand complete in Christ. And having done that for us, he will, with him, give us all things to enjoy. He will take care of you. He'll look after you. And we have nothing to fear on the judgment day, and we can rejoice in that. Well, we have nothing to fear neither in time. Nothing to be afraid of. The Lord's with us. He's Emmanuel. Fear not. He's not only Jesus' Savior, loving you, caring for you, but he's also Emmanuel, and he's with you. God with us. So child of God, fear not. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Fear not. They shall call him Emmanuel. God with you. And he's with you. I'll not labour the point because I said there are four fear nots in your aimlink. The first one then is the fear not of salvation. And I have skipped over some of the notes. Secondly, there's the fear not of supplication. If you turn over to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 1, verse 13, you will find another fear not in regard or in association with the Christmas message. Fear not, Luke chapter 1 and the verse 13. And again, it's the angel speaking to Zacharias, and he is anxious. There's no doubt he's been praying along with his wife Elizabeth for a child, and nothing has happened. And they're now in the years where really it's really finished and it's over. But if you notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, that the angel said unto him, Zacharias that is, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Luke 1 and 13. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. You have the fear not of salvation in Matthew chapter 1. And you have the fear not of supplication here in association with the Christmas story and message of supplication. What a blessed word this is. The name Zechariah, by the way, means remembered by the Lord. Very interesting. It's a play on words here. Thy prayer is heard. His name would have suggested that. It's a play on words. Thou art Zacharias or Zechariah, one who will be remembered by the Lord, one who will not be forgotten by God. Thy prayer is heard. And the angel is really playing on words in a sense. Fear not, one who bears the name, Jehovah will remember. Jehovah will not forget. Thy prayer is heard. And so there's a double emphasis because he calls him by his name. The angel, when he appeared there in the temple, could have just addressed him and said, fear not, your prayer's heard. But he uses his name. He didn't need to. There was nobody else in the temple. He was there on his own. He followed the course that David set up for the Levites. David set up all those courses. They had certain times whenever they were on duty. That's how they fulfilled the duties of the tabernacle 24/7. They had a team of workers. And his was of the course of Abiah, if I get the reading right. That means David set them all up. It was David who set all the courses of the Levites up and their seasons to serve. And he was serving in his time. It was basically his shift. And there was no one else present in the temple. No one there himself. And the angel did not need to use his name. He just needed to say, fear not, thy prayer is heard. Because there's no doubt that this man knew that he had been praying. And I have no doubt that whenever he was laboring in the temple, whenever he was performing the office of the priest, whenever he was out and about in society, whenever he was engaging the people, he was constantly praying and praying the same prayer over and over and over again. And when the angel said, fear not, thy prayer is heard, that's all he needed to say. And he knew, there's only one would know I'm praying about this. There's only one would know the burden of my heart, and that would be the Lord. And you're absolutely right. And I know what prayer you're referring to. It's not my prayers, it's that prayer. Thy prayer, singular, is heard. But he said, fear not, Zacharias. Fear not, one who bears the name, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Fear not, the one that bears the name, remembered by Jehovah. Thy prayer is heard. Now what a blessed word this was for Zacharias. But what a blessed word that is for us at this time of the year. The fear not of salvation. The Lord has saved you. He'll take care of you. And then the fear not of supplication. Thy prayer is heard. Do you think for one moment, we've heard it said, God hasn't answered my prayers. As if because he hasn't answered, he hasn't heard. He has. From the very first time you prayed. And the first time I ever prayed. And certain matters. And one is my own son. From the very first moment I prayed, God heard my prayer. And maybe, I don't know, perhaps for years, or maybe in recent weeks, days, or months, you've been praying about a matter. You've been talking to the Lord. You would never raise your hand on a Tuesday night and say, I have a little prayer request. Would you pray about this for me? Because it's too personal. And there are many things should be kept to ourselves, by the way. Many things. And they're not for public consumption in the prayer meeting. And therefore, only God would know what you're praying about. And here's a word from God for you tonight. At this Christmas season, when you're anxious and worried, and will God ever answer? There's not even a sign on the horizon, not even a change in the circumstance. In fact, as far as I look at it, it's got worse. And it doesn't seem to be going to improve. And there doesn't seem to be any way out of it. And I cannot see now how this could ever be fixed. It's just gone on far too long, and it's too deep, it's just too hard. And I just can't see how this could ever be sorted. Yet the Lord says, fear not, thy prayer is heard. Maybe you have been praying just for a short time about matters. Or maybe you've been seeking God for a long time about something. There's no word from God. Nothing. Just seems there's nothing there. Doesn't seem it's even going to be there. It's like Elijah's servant the first time, second, third, and sixth time. Nothing. Nothing at all. Only sunshine. And no clouds. And no sign of an answer to prayer. No deliverance. No change in the circumstances. Not even a token for good. Maybe that's how you feel. That's exactly what we're dealing with here in Zacharias. For years upon year after year after year, this man prayed. And the angel reminds him, thy prayer is heard. It's already been heard. You keep on praying. You keep on praying. And even now you're still praying. And I'm come to tell you, fear not. Thy prayer is heard. That's all it takes. You remember Daniel? Daniel prayed for 21 days, 3 weeks. And the very first day he prayed, the angel was sent from heaven with an answer. The very first day. So that second that Daniel prayed, his prayer was heard in heaven, and God immediately commissioned an angel to go and give him an answer. And if you read the book of Daniel, you'll discover that the prince of Persia, it's not an earthly king. It's a reference to the devil himself, to Lucifer. He's called the Prince of Persia on this occasion. And it says the Prince of Persia resisted the angel coming from heaven. So the devil had that power. He's the god of this world and he's the prince of the power of the air. And that angel had to call for Michael, the archangel, who heads up the hosts of the heavenly host in heaven. And he had to come and they engaged in battle. And that battle lasted for at least 21 days before Gabriel and other angels broke through the demons and the devil. And they got an answer to God's servant. 21 days. And the heavens were as brass. And the first thing the angel said in relief to this child of God was this. Fear not, thy beloved of God. Beloved. God doesn't hate you. He loves you. From the first day you prayed, I was sent with an answer. But the prince of Persia, the devil himself, and I had to call for Michael. Now, we would have known about that heavenly battle in the air with spirit beings. This had been recorded for us in Holy Scripture, but it was in reference to prayer. And Daniel got the same word, fear not, beloved of God, just as Zechariah got it. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. Even maybe this year, you've brought matters again to the Lord. At the beginning of this year, you felt 2021 will be the year of answered prayer. A wonderful deliverance, an intervention of God. Matters sorted, but no. You come to an end of an old year, and you feel full of unbelief for a new year. And hope year after year, and hope deferred, the proverb says, makes the heart sick. And that's true. When hope seems to be disappointed, and when it's deferred, it's stopped, it's halted, and it doesn't encourage, and there's nothing there, it makes the heart sick. That means it's poorly, and it's hardly even strength to believe again and trust the Lord for another year. Well, here's a word from God for you at the very Christmas season. Another fear not, the fear not of supplication. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. Here's a word from God that will remedy your problem, even though you don't get an answer. God has heard. Isn't that all you need to know? What God does with it and what he does about it is his business. But isn't it good to know that he's heard? And in hearing, in his own time, he will answer. He will either say no, and we'll submit to him. He will either say yes, and we will rejoice in him. He may even say wait. Just wait a little longer. Isn't that what the case was when prayer was recorded in heaven? Prayer was recorded in heaven. You'd imagine if you were in heaven and you asked the Lord for anything, he would just give it to you. If you read the book of the Revelation chapter 6, we have prayer offered in heaven. And it says those that were martyred for the testimony of Christ gathered round the throne. And here's what they says, Lord, They addressed him on the throne. And he says, how long, holy, just, and true, wilt thou not avenge our blood upon the people on the earth? And the Lord answered them. He answered their prayer. And he didn't say yes, and he didn't say no, but he told them to wait. He actually said to them that they were to tarry, and they were to wait and be patient until others would join them in heaven as martyrs for him. And so we see the Lord has heard, but he hasn't said yes or no. He maybe has just said to you, wait. Wait a little longer because I'll get more glory. Isn't that what happened at Lazarus? Whenever he was told that he was sick, that was a request, that was a prayer. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And then he died. And 4 days later, the Lord appeared. And the two sisters said exactly the same thing. Lord, if you had have been here, my brother would have lived. You could have healed him. What kept you? Where were you? In fact, the Bible tells me deliberately, when he heard that news, that he tarried. He tarried another 3 days. Deliberately he waited. And when he got there, I want to tell you, what would have brought greater glory to the Lord? Arriving when a man was alive and he raised him from the sick bed. People might say, well, sure, he maybe got some medication and that's where he was, and he gave him some medication. Anyway, he would have recovered. We believe he would have recovered. He wasn't really sick unto death, but no, he was 4 days dead. And the Lord waited. And he got greater glory whenever he said, take away the stone. They went, what? He's dead. And they even said, he stinketh. He's corrupt. His flesh. We couldn't open that sepulchre. We couldn't even go in there. That man's dead 4 days, and in that heat, his body is stinking, smelling. It's vile. He's full of corruption. What are you going to do? And he called him forth. And Lazarus came forth, and they took the grave clothes off him. And the remarkable thing is this, it was said later on that many gathered to see him who was dead, not who was sick. To see him who was dead. And here's what it says. And many believed when they saw him. When they saw Lazarus. So the Lord got greater glory. That's why he says wait. But here's the fear not of salvation. Here's the fear not of supplication. Thirdly, very quickly, you have the fear not of sovereignty. If you're in Luke chapter 1, then you're in the right passage. You'll notice in verse 30 and verse 37. If we tie those words together, you have the fear not of God's sovereignty. And notice what it says in verse 30 of Luke chapter 2. Or sorry, Luke chapter 1. What it says in Luke chapter 1 and the verse 30. And the angel said unto her, that's unto Mary, fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary. And then if you look with me at verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And if you tie those two texts together, you get the fear not of sovereignty. In association with the birth of Christ, and in association with the Christmas story and message, and you have what is known here as the fear not of God's sovereignty. Fear not, Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that a remarkable statement? This was the word God gave to Mary, and it was in connection with the impossible. She was a virgin. She had never known a man. How could it be possible to have a child without a man? And we're not living in the scientific age now where in the lab they can produce in a test tube life, although it has to be taken from both humans. Nevertheless, here we have something that in Mary's day wasn't even talked about, thought about, experimented with. A virgin would be with child, impossible. Never knowing a man, impossible. And the Lord said to her in the very association and connection with the impossible, he says, fear not. With God, all things are possible. And that's in association with the Christmas message. We have as much right to preach in the Christmas story the fear not of salvation as we do, the fear not of supplication as we should, and the fear not of God's sovereignty. He did a miracle that day. And it was in fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, where the virgin would be with child. They call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, what a message the Lord has given to us at this time of the year. The fear not of salvation. He saved you. He loves you. He'll take care of you. The fear not of supplication. He listens to your prayers. He hears your cries. And he will answer your prayers in his own time, in his own way. And furthermore, he's the God of the impossible. And the one who says, with God all things are possible. He's now saying, is there anything too hard for me? Is there? Fear not, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? You got any mountains you feel you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other can do. If thou canst believe, the Lord said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can I let you into a secret? Before I took a call to Cumber, God told me, long time before this church ever thought of a minister, just sitting there exactly where Albert is, maybe the second seat in a presbytery one night, and God told me I would be the minister of this church. And I had to believe God. And when I shared that with my session in Lisburn, if there's any listening tonight, you'll agree. They felt I was making a mistake. That I wouldn't have known the will of God. And how do you know? And I says, I do know. I know. I know. And the Lord gave me the word. And he confirmed the word. And then in my daily readings, he gave me the word. I want to tell you something. There are people saying to me that you're foolish leaving Lisburn. Well-meaning Christians. Ministerial colleagues. They said quite a bit. And the devil was telling me, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. You'll not get the call. You'll not get the call. I want to tell you something. I'll let you into a secret. I remember the very day that the call was being issued, the very night, just as you were about to meet here, I went upstairs to bed on my own, lifted my daily readings, read the Word of God. I brought all the promises to God, and I battled. I have to say this, I battled. I battled with the Lord, or with the devil. And all those statements that people had made, I'd write them down now, that says, no, it's not going to happen. Well-meaning friends phoned me, and they were anxious. They were really anxious. And they says, Thomas, if this doesn't work out, you're going to be in trouble. You've told those men. You've said you're going. You've told more people than enough that God has called you. But you've done it all before you even got a call. And I fear, there's people said to me, I quote, I fear you've got it wrong. I want to tell you something. I lay up in that room on my own, and I prayed what I believe was the prayer of Daniel in Psalm 119. Remember the word upon which thou hast caused thy servant to hope. And I got victory. And I knew. And even though the devil was saying, you've got it wrong, and he was trying to get me to think about going to Lisburn session and saying, I didn't get the call. Could I stay here, please? On your bike, there's your P45. Cheerio. But I want to tell you something I knew. But I had to trust the Lord. And I had to trust the Lord to do what many felt was impossible. To touch the heart of this congregation. To issue a call. And to call me as your minister. And I knew God was going to do it. And I knew that there's nothing impossible with my God. And when he said he was going to do something, I believed him. And you know something? I want to say this. In all my Christian experience, I believe that that's one of the greatest acts of faith that I've ever exercised apart from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. That's the greatest trial and test of my faith. And I believed God. And your meeting went on a little bit longer than it usually does. Not since I've come, obviously, but in the usual meetings. And I got the phone call. And my heart was at peace. And the Reverend Samuel Murray, his words to me weren't even, he doesn't mess about, he doesn't ask you about your health and how you're doing. He says, Thomas, I says, yes, Samuel, how you doing? He says, you're the minister of Cumber now. That's the way he put it. Well, then he obviously told me what happened. But I want to tell you something. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And so you have the fear not of salvation, the fear not of supplication, the fear not of sovereignty, and finally, you have the fear not of service. If you notice with me here, I'm going to keep an eye on time, for time's gone already. If you notice there in Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bible open, and the words of the angels to the shepherds in the field, and it says they were sore afraid in chapter 2, verse 9 of Luke's Gospel. It says, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, fear not. And then he goes on to say, I bring you tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And the remarkable thing was this, that they then when they got that word, they wanted to go and see Christ. And you notice in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see. Let us see this for ourselves. And then having seen, they then went and shared or served Christ. Because in verse 17, it tells us that. And when they had seen it or seen him, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And you have what is known as the fear not of service. That's to do with the Christmas message and story. They were afraid, sore afraid. And the angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. You've got to make this known. You can't keep it quiet. And they say, we shall go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves this thing. And they saw it. And then having seen, it says they made known abroad the saying concerning this child. That is, they spoke of Christ, they served the Lord. And this fear not is in connection with service, the fear not of service. The message was given to the shepherds, and then they shared it with many others. And I want to tell you that the Lord dealt with their fears. They were not afraid to go and tell about Christ. They were not afraid to say, the one born is the Messiah. The one born is the King of the Jews. The one born is the Anointed One of God. The one born in the city of David, a Saviour. And he's Christ, and he's the Lord. He's God veiled in human flesh. He's the Saviour. And it's the duty of all who have seen Christ in salvation to share Christ in service. It's our duty. Fear not. This message is to all people. Go and tell. That's what the shepherds did. But they had a fear not with them to do it. Don't be afraid. They were sore afraid. But he says, go. Don't be afraid. Having seen Christ in salvation, go and share him and serve him and work for him. We must not be afraid to make Christ known. We must be unashamedly Christian and bring the gospel to our fellow man. May God fill us with his Holy Spirit to make Christ known, having seen him and salvation, to make him known in service, and to tell others about the wonderful Saviour we have. I trust the four fear nots of the Christmas message will encourage your heart tonight and bring you and I closer to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we say to our internet listeners, which generally I forget to say, thank you for listening, and we bid you farewell for a little season as a church, as a congregation, a body of Christ in this part of the vineyard. We're getting down now to a season of prayer. So thank you very much for listening. Okay, folks, we'll come to our season.